Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Any Given Game Day with Mike Carson. Just myself, Kieran O'Connor, and Mike here on New Year's Day looking ahead to the games. We missed Christmas week, so hope you had a great Christmas. We decided to take it off. The stats have shown us over the years that really a lot of you decide to not listen to podcasts over Christmas, but you do when the new year rings in, Mike. So we're back, baby.
We're back. It's a shame we missed Christmas because, for one thing, I was all over the Cleveland Browns in Pittsburgh. I was going to take Cleveland with the points and the under, and it all came in.
Baby.
I miss not having John's reaction to my saying that. And then, of course, this week I miss John not having his reaction to my saying that.
And let's start there, right? Because that was interesting. Because obviously Netflix have paid a bomb for those kind of Christmas Day games. And second year that they've had them, I think they kind of hope that it'll be like a Thanksgiving thing. But the funny thing is that we mentioned it when we were looking ahead to the games a little bit, that they really picked or got unlucky with injuries and other such things. And in the end, I'm not entirely sure those three games probably garnered the attraction that they thought they would be.
It no, probably not. And I didn't watch like the Netflix broadcast. I watched the highlights of the games the next day.
Did you not? Okay. I watched them. It was fun. But they kept showing people. They did that thing where they kept showing people in parts of the world tuning in. They're like, hey, he's in New Zealand and hey, he's in Doha. And you're
And
like, who gives a fuck?
there were lots of complaints about, interruptions, and especially Emmett Smith. There was a lot of complaint about Emmitt Smith showing up. And I remember Emmitt as an announcer very well, because you had all these Emmittisms. My most favorite of which was the leopard does not change its stripes. But the thing was, at the beginning of the season, you would have thought these were great matchups.
Of course, yeah.
And you were offering Patrick Mahomes, you were offering Jaden Daniels, in case it wasn't a great matchup. So, you didn't even get that as consolation prizes. And the only thing you did get was Detroit losing to Minnesota, which, was like the culmination of my week after week of betting Detroit and Tampa because they should be good. And week after week, they're proving that they just aren't that good, And
They've been on our
Detroit
naughty
could
list, all
actually
right.
end up losing that division. I mean, we're finishing last in that division at Minnesota. If Minnesota can beat Green Bay, and Green Bay will be resting, they'll be resting like the water boys and the guys who handle the cord behind the coach's headset, that kind of thing. So
Well, that
yeah.
brings us on. That's a good segue to this week in a little bit. And you can go back to the New Year or to the Christmas Day games if you want. But we used to have a saying that the week one lines of the NFL were the most difficult to bet on. And the second most difficult to bet on is the last week lines
Yeah,
because.
and I think they're harder. I would say they're the hardest.
Yeah. Because we're getting the rumors. This is why we want to go a little bit earlier. We know. The Eagles are going to rest players. Chargers are going to rest players. Green Bay are going to rest players. You mentioned about San Fran. You want to have a little chat about them, probably like basically throwing the game. It's so hard to know how these games will work out when they're resting players. But what I would say to people who are having a bet, and we're going to discuss a little bit, is look at teams who are incentivized to win this weekend and look for star players who are incentivized to like get a few catches or a few yards for big bonuses. That's the only way to look at it, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of the ways, there's only a few games that are really meaningful, and they actually become a little bit harder to call at that point, And there's a couple of lines that surprised me this week. Primarily, and we'll talk about that in a second. The only really exciting thing, referee ranting. Which becomes worse and worse each week. The last games of week 17, the Sunday Philadelphia Buffalo game, the Sunday night Chicago San Francisco game, and the Monday night Raiders, sorry, Rams and Atlanta game, I was just apoplectic. And I was watching them live, not like the Christmas games. If you have Game Pass, you get the 40-minute edit, which is great for like what, when I say highlights, I mean that. But you had two flea flickers, or original flea flickers, which they now call stuff like la hook and lateral, or but back in the old days, that was what a flea flicker was. You sent a receiver downfield, he turned back running what they used to call a button hook, toward the quarterback. He caught the ball and then he shoveled it off. He flicked it off to someone following him. And we had one of those in the Philadelphia game. We had one of those in the Chicago San Francisco game, and they're great to watch. I love the when they're well executed. And then in the Monday night game, you had Puka Nacua making one of the most incredible catches of the season.
Ooh, not a catch, they say, Mike.
He didn't have control. And I'm so tired of this because he had possession the whole time. And I always thought that this was about possession constituted a catch. And then that, as they got more and more rabbinical with the kind of interpretations of the rules, it became control. There's no way in the world that is not a catch in the real world. The fact that he didn't have that he couldn't have spun the ball in his hands while he was falling down and while it came a little bit loose against his chest, he never lost possession of that ball. It was always his ball. And it's also the reason why, and I think someone explained this on the, but it's the reason why they allow defensive backs to slap away at your hands while you're in the process of the catch, as well as beforehand, which also is, I wish it would be called more. But that's why, because if they can just lodge the ball loose for a second between your two hands, the catch will be invalid, even though it's valid, even though you never lost possession of the ball. That drives me crazy. And it takes me all week to recover. I only got my
It does.
sanity back this morning.
It does. It does. It's actually a really good point about the tackling because it's also been mentioned that a lot of the times the tackling for running backs, they are punching the ball. They're not tackling. So they go in to punch the ball out. And if they don't punch the ball out, it kind of looks a bit silly because sometimes you have a running back running in quite unharmed in for a touchdown because the player has rightfully by the coaching not attempted to tackle him but attempted to punch it and then fell over, if you get what I mean. So
No,
they're
I
telling him,
quite
but yeah.
agree. And
But
don't
look, we've
get me
had this for
started on
years.
the ground can't cause a fumble, because when I played, the ground could cause a fumble. Of course it could.
Well, you've got, Bryant back in the Cowboys days, Megatron with the Lions back in the days. I mean, when is a catch? A catch is one of those things. But I mean, we have a fantasy football group, and I put that catch in the next morning, and someone just said, "That's not a catch." And I was like, "How is it not a catch? Like, I'm sorry. Like, what do you mean it's not a catch? I just don't understand."
I hear Mr. Bolf won the fantasy.
I didn't want to. Yes, he did. He won our fantasy. And he was the best team by far. But I have issues with our league. But anyway, I don't need to go into it. But you know this thing of like where every catch gets a point. What are they called?
Ooh,
PPR leagues.
okay.
It got changed to that, and I actually wasn't paying attention to the WhatsApp group to realize that it was changed to that. And it was I just like I don't understand how you can have a running back who has like a superstar game and he gets the same as a very mediocre wide receiver just because. He got passed a few times. It's bullshit. Anyway, let's do some games, Mike, and we'll run through them quick because these are tough to do this week. Panthers at Tampa kicks us off. It is on Saturday night, I believe. Yeah. It is Panthers +3, Bucks -5, 43.5. Bucks -3, sorry, even money. 43.5 is the over under. I'm surprised that's Saturday, isn't there? Aren't the big bowl games? Because I've watched some of the bowl games this year. They are, before we end, you know what's funny about the bowl games is they are so strangely different with the level of ability, if you get what, like, so some of them, they're really poor games, but like they're being shown on ESPN and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, they keep expanding and expanding. It used to be you had to have a winning record to get into a bowl game, and now it's, 500 record. And if they don't have enough teams, because a lot of teams now are not going, if they're not involved in the playoff, they decide not to go, or a team whose coach leaves and then takes half the players with him, they don't want to injure themselves in what truly is a meaningless game. apart from ESPN's advertising schedule and the money that they pay to the schools to participate. So
It's three or
I don't
four a night
blame
on
them
the
at all.
telly. Yeah,
But
it's a lot.
every season, I've already looked at the transfer portal. Every player at what they used to call mid-major schools, and every player in the FCS who's good is moving up. Everybody's moving up, and the coaches of the top teams in the top conferences are looking around to fill gaps with players, even from their own conference. The bad teams in their own conference, the guys will transfer up to a better team. So the imbalance is huge between the top, really between the top six or eight teams in a given year and the rest. And that's kind of what Kansas City, Las Vegas Raiders promised to be before various things have happened over the season, and we're left with what we'll have on Sunday, but we'll get to that later.
We'll get to
Carolina
that.
and Tampa.
Carolina, Tampa. Let's go to it. What do you think,
Carolina is like
Tampa?
one of those plucky mid-majors. And Tampa is a, what would you call it? Failing, aging,
Season of two halves. First half, they looked unbeatable. At the moment, they look terrible.
And first half, they were, part of the reason they looked unbeatable was because Baker was pulling game after game out with, last quarter comeback heroics. And I think he just, that got worn out, basically. And their defense has not been the same as well, partly because of that. I'm a little surprised that they're still home favorites in this game. And it's a game they have to win, first off. But they could also win it and still not win the division, because on Sunday, if Atlanta beat New Orleans, and New Orleans is on a winning streak with Taylor Shuck at quarterback, but if Atlanta beat New Orleans, and they're just coming off, obviously, a big win this past week, and then it becomes a three-way tie. All three teams will have 8 and 9 records. And the tiebreaker then goes from being head to head, where Tampa has the tiebreaker over Carolina, to being a round robin head to head. So the game's between the three teams, and Carolina will have the best record there. So Carolina could actually lose this game and still win the division, which is great.
Good for
An
them.
interesting proposal for them. I actually think I would take Tampa in this, just being, it's really weird which Carolina will show up, which Bryce Young will show up. And I would have said 3 weeks ago that Todd Bowles would have an answer for Bryce Young, and I'm not quite sure that he will this week. But I'll still go with Tampa giving three, and I'd probably take the under in this one too.
He's back with his unders. New year, same old Mike. The 1 o'clock, if you stay in, but this one's got, this one's so hard to take. Seattle Seahawks 4-5. The San Francisco 49ers are even money. The Seahawks 1.5 is the spread, 9-10. And the over under is 47.5. But
I think San Francisco were actually getting, they were getting 1.5 at home, which
yeah.
surprised me a little bit. And I think it's been a remarkable coaching job by Kyle Shanahan to have them in the position that they're in right now. Balanced as Seattle are or is, I'm not sure Seattle's actually that much better than San Francisco, assuming they get a few of their big name. I mean, everybody's out for them. Their injury list is like Moby Dick. It go, you know, and
Sorry, did Moby Dick have a number of injuries by the end of the book?
I mean, the
Or
first
years?
couple of pages of Moby Dick is just listing all the words for whale in various languages. And that's, and they've got more than that. Kittle may well be out, although Tongas had a pretty good game for them. I think Trent Williams is probably going to be held out if he's not, a completely 100% to go, because he's got a hamstring, and that's probably better that he lay his 400 pounds down and rather than just put weight on it and all. So, I mean, the points to me here are are not very important. You would go with whoever you think could win. And I think Seattle defensively may well be able to keep San Francisco under control. But that I like the idea. I hate that they're favorites because I would really like to be taking them. Oh, sorry, they're underdogs. I like the idea of an upset, but I'd like more than a point and a half.
Apologies, I was muted there. It's hard to know which game of the 6 o'clocks. I've got my eye on one you mentioned. I'll just ask you about it. Saints and Falcons.
Yeah,
It's
well,
6-4 to Saints, Falcons 8-15, 3 points to spread, and 44.5 is the over under.
and Atlanta really burst out against the Rams. That was a huge upset on Monday night. Now they're playing on the short week at home, but that's not such a bad situation for them. And they did it with Bijan Robinson primarily, running the ball, but also their defense played pretty well against the Rams and kept them in check. Kirk Cousins didn't deliver all that much, and New Orleans has been surprising because they've played well defensively, and Shuck does just enough kind of to keep them, if they stay in games, to hit a couple of big plays. But I really think with the stakes, Atlanta is only a spoiler here. They can't win the division even if they win. And I'm not sure exactly how much motivation that's going to be for them. But on the other hand, New Orleans is a spoiler too. And this is a rivalry game. There aren't many matchups which year in and year out are important rivalry games. They come and go otherwise, but this is one that stays even when the two teams are bad. So I think Atlanta at home is probably the way to go.
Anything else there at 6 o'clock
Although
that catches your eye at the moment?
apparently betting Atlanta is always a risk. Apparently they've been very bad this season at covering spreads.
Is that nefarious now, do we think, or are we all okay? That's just them being a bit shit sometimes. Anything else, 6 o'clock?
Anything else at 6 o'clock? Well, Green Bay, Minnesota, with Max Bosmer at quarterback for Minnesota and Malik Willis probably a quarterback for Green Bay. Green Bay is going to rest a lot of people. They're locked in to the seventh seed. They're getting 6.5 at home against Minnesota. Now, Minnesota is really good defensively. And the odd thing is, I thought Malik Willis played better than Justin Love last week when Green Bay were losing. So I'm tempted to tie. I think here I would take Green Bay in the points, even though they've got nothing to play for, and may well rest everybody. And Minnesota will be all fired up for this game
Okay.
at home. So maybe I'll just contradict what I just said. And I'll
No.
go over 37.5 in
I
this
think
one.
over 37 is a great bet on this. I do. Even with the backups. Like, you gotta think. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7.5, 9 games, lads. God. Oof. But I understand it
I
being the
mean,
last game of the season, the last round of the season.
if you don't mind big spreads, I mean, if Jacksonville win, Houston stays with a wild card but doesn't win the division. But Houston's playing Indianapolis. Indianapolis is starting Riley Leonard instead of Phillip Rivers. They've lost every game with Phillip Rivers. It's a 10-point spread. And Houston's not a dynamic offensive team. They've got weapons, but CJ Stroud, to me, has been in and out for most of this season. But I think Houston could cover a 10-point spread in this game because their defense is so good. Riley Leonard's going to have some real problems. And I like Riley Leonard. I thought he played well before he got hurt when he first came in replacing Daniel Jones. And it's interesting because I say this all the time, because I just dislike betting large spreads. When the over-under's under 40, it's 39.5. A 10-point spread is a lot of points. And
Quarter,
that
yeah.
becomes more difficult to achieve, I think, in this case. But I would take Houston in the points in this one and maybe go under as well.
A quick word on Miami, New England. It's a big spread as well.
Yeah, and I'm not quite sure why. I don't think New England's going to be in tank mode here, because they'll probably do what they did against the Jets last week, which was when they had the big lead at halftime. In the second half, they started putting in their replacements, and Miami is just good enough to take advantage of that. I'd probably take Miami in the points in this one, although they do seem to have given up quite a bit on Mike McDaniel in the season. They did, and then they didn't, and now they seem to have done that again. But for New England, that second seed most likely means a rematch with the Bills, which is a difficult prospect for them. And if I'm the Bills, I might want to try to keep that seventh seed, although throwing one to the Jets would be difficult, and it depends too on what Houston and the Chargers do. The Chargers are obviously throwing the game. So it's a, what would you call it? It's a kind of rebound situation for New England. They might want to try to get Drake May the MVP, but I don't think he's going to get that anyway. And I noticed too that Trevon Diggs has been signed. He was cut by the Cowboys, and he was signed by the Packers. I was really thinking that the Patriots might sign him and then give him his brother's uniform. And therefore, when his brother's suspended, they would put him in his brother's uniform. And if his brother gets suspended, because Stephon's now up on a strangulation charge.
Believe it was a chef. A chef,
Yes,
wasn't it?
and our it was an argument. Apparently, the argument was over payment, but it was more about he had promised to finance a restaurant for her, give her financial backing. Not necessarily the payment for her services as a chef,
But
and
chicken
that's what they
nuggets
were
weren't overdone
arguing
or
about.
anything. Okay. Well, look, we watched that with interest. Last game, Ravens Steelers. Let's do it. Baltimore Ravens 8-15, Steelers 6-4. 3.5 is the spread. And what do we got? I've lost the over under 41.5. I'm glad I have notes. What before? Actually, just on the Ravens, and it's very short question. Do you think Lamar is there next year?
It's a good question. I don't think they get off him. It's the one of the things going around right now is that both of the Harbaugh brothers are questionable. I don't see any reason why Jim would be in Los Angeles, but John in Baltimore. I think it's more the press are fed up with him than the fans or the ownership. You could make the case that the keeping Derrick Henry on the bench 2 weeks ago, for the last two drives against Patriots was a crazy mistake, and he made up for it last week with Henry gaining so many yards, on the ground, just building the whole offense around him. But I think he and Huntley, in this straight up game, could do a lot of damage, which is why Pittsburgh are home dogs in this game. That's we do give Baltimore lots of credit for a defense that doesn't always show up, that isn't as, and an offensive line that isn't as strong as we think it is. But without DK Metcalf, they really seemed at a loss last week, literally and figuratively, if not literally, but literally, let's give it literally because that was
Let's say it.
Cleveland. And I would kind of like to see that one go to the Bills, to the Ravens in the end. Mike Tomlin, they're talking about being on his last legs as a coach, but again, I can't see why. He always comes up with the winning record. A 9-8 finish would be a pure Mike Tomlin finish. I'm
Well,
not
at
sure
some
what
point.
Pittsburgh.
Does that run out because you're not making a, like you're not serious contenders? It's all well and good having a winning record.
And I think it becomes one of those questions, which is more an internal question for the Steelers than an external one for all of us watching them, especially the media, and the fan base. Who makes the decision about whether Ben Roethlisberger would be your best bet at quarterback, whether Aaron Rodgers is your best bet at quarterback? And I used to think that it was a front office decision and ownership, but I start to think that more, it's more Mike Tomlin, wanting a veteran, wanting he'd rather stick with a spaghetti-armed Ben Roethlisberger than go with someone else. And he doesn't probably make the draft choices. They haven't drafted well at the quarterback position, but he'd rather go with Aaron Rodgers and all the attendant stuff that goes on with Rodgers than trust somebody new. Because Riley, well, not Riley Leonard, but what's his name? At
Well, the one
the
before
at
Mason Rudolph, when they had him back in the
Mason
day.
Rudolph. Yeah, Mason Rudolph. But Mason Rudolph is not necessarily the answer, and hasn't been, but they brought him back. They couldn't come up with something better, no Philip Rivers available. Because he's only a few years older than Aaron Rodgers.
No, I think the Ravens will be interesting to watch the offseason. I read a very good piece by one of the main reporters there that basically said that they have run out of a bit of patience with him. Like they moved the Ravens train in the afternoon because he doesn't like training in the morning. He finds it too cold. He's known to fall asleep in team meetings because he stays up late watching video games. And he is known to be, very much if I'm hurt, I'm not playing, which obviously is probably a good idea, but in the NFL is certainly frowned upon. Most notably was the back injury, couple of, where he seemed to get a knee in the back and stayed out with the game, basically.
No,
He wants to
I
play
think
in warm weather.
those are really good points. And Huntley has shown at least that, that he can get them through a game. It's really Jackson's running ability that makes him so great. The threat of his running ability.
Could you see him in a Miami
Can
Dolphins jersey? What do you think of that?
how about yeah? Can you see Tua in a Ravens jersey?
Can
I
see two
don't.
in the stands. That's where I can see Tua.
Yeah, I don't think so. And there aren't that many quarterback deals possible, because I suspect right now the Falcons are the I suspect right now the Falcons are not going to move on from Kirk Cousins, even though there's it costs them a lot of money to keep him, but he may be a better alternative than an injury prone Penix.
Gotta be careful with that one. Gotta be really careful.
But that was the book. That was the book on Penix when he came out, was that he was injury prone.
Always gotta be careful with
And
your Phoenix.
other things to watch, I think, as we said, we've mentioned that no Justin Herbert for the Chargers, and they're going to rest a lot of people.
Who were dog shit, by the way, over Christmas? The Chargers. Oh my God.
Buffalo may well rest Josh Allen if they want to try to throw the game to the.
Yeah, they're throwing
Sorry,
games. We're
I'm not even
we're
going
out
to go
here
into
throwing
that.
games. We know some people are throwing games this weekend.
Well, and if there's ever a team that's going to throw a game, it would be the Raiders, who, if they can manage to lose, would guarantee themselves the first pick in the draft.
Well, actually, that is the type. Remember, like the Jets have done this before, and other teams have won once to make sure they don't get it. Will we do best bets, Mike? And I'll let you think about yours, and I'm going to think about mine. But I will say that
Do you have
Johns
John's?
is a piece of shit, like, because it's like I don't think this is his best bet, but he's decided to annoy me by doing the Cowboys minus 3.5
Okay.
against the
Well,
Giants. But that won't annoy me because I'm not a Giants fan, as we all know,
I
or the
thought,
Cowboys.
2 weeks ago, you had the Rams and Seahawks going over 44-5, and they put up 75 points between them, which constitutes a best bet and
That's
did at the time.
definitely over, yeah.
I had Kansas City and Tennessee going under 37-5, and I was a bit worried by that, and I had every right to be because they combined for 35 points. So I won it, but not easily. And John had Detroit
Just.
giving 6.5 to Pittsburgh, and that was a 5-point game, which Pittsburgh won anyway. So he was wrong on both counts. So the standings right now, with this being the final week, is I'm
Heading
10 and
into the playoffs, though,
6.
just to be clear, we still have,
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm
I know
10
what you
and
mean.
6. John's 9 and 7, and you are 8 and 8.
Perfect.
So
Five-point record.
it's down to the last game. And John's was what, did you say?
So he's gone for Cowboys -3.5.
Cowboys -3.5 at the
Yeah.
Giants.
Do you want to go or do you
Okay.
want mine?
Go ahead.
44 over Saints Falcons.
Ooh.
Yeah,
See,
like that one.
I was looking, it's 44 now.
If you have 43 in your notes, though, you can leave it at that. Just say we don't, you know.
And looking around here,
Yeah.
I'm not gonna take the I'm not gonna take the risky over again. I'm gonna go over in the Patriots Miami 45-5.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting. And that is it. And we're going to leave it there, guys. Thank you so much for joining us on this New Year's Day, whenever you're listening. I know it's probably still holiday season, so enjoy the rest of the New Year's. Enjoy the rest of the weekend before you go back to work. But don't forget, as soon as you go back to work, that myself, Mike, and John will be back to take you through the playoffs all the way to the Super Bowl in early February, because the season really hots up next week with the start of Wildcard Weekend. I'm not sure they still
Yeah, I
call it Super
promise.
Wildcard Weekend. They
Yeah.
might call it Super Wildcard Weekend, do they? You think? Well, I'll have to look at that. I'll call it Wild Card Weekend or Super Wild Card Weekend, depending on what the NFL tell me in the next 7 days. Mike.
Yeah, I promise next week no New Year's hangover plus no chemo moments. It's a bad combination. Don't mix your drugs and drive. And I hope you all have a very, very happy 2026.
Yeah, and I hope you have the happiest of them all, Mike, to be honest. Obviously, tough 2025, so we're all rooting for you in the next new year. And look, enjoy the last round of the matches. Hopefully, we get some good games, hopefully, some winning bets. And we're back with the playoffs next week. Bye for now.